Good morning. Welcome to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week we're talking about hemp. Hemp is a plant that's been in cultivation for thousands of years. I've got a picture of some wrapping paper with hemp fiber from a tomb in China from, about, looks like 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. It's been made into paper forever. It's been made into fabric for a long time. In Russia, in 1818, they opened a paper mill making hemp. And in the United States, in the late 1800s to the mid-1900s, hemp was produced, and it is no more. My guest today is Michael Pierce. He's the co-owner of Astoria Hemp Works, and we're going to talk about what's happening in this dynamic field where things are really changing now. Good morning, Michael. Michael.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. So let's talk about hemp.
All right.
First of all, let's just get out of the way the difference between hemp and marijuana.
Okay, one of the first things that people do is they automatically associate it to, we've been taught for generations that they're the same, and they're certainly not.
Michael, would you speak louder?
A lot of people have been taught for generations that they're the same, and they're absolutely not. Industrial hemp has very little of the psychoactive component THC in it. So marijuana is the recreational side of the cannabis plant, and industrial hemp is the working side.
Well,
when you grow industrial hemp, it's going to be a lot different looking. It's going to have a whole different process of growing it, and it won't have any kind of psychoactive component at all. In fact, if you smoke it, all you'll get is an upset stomach and a headache.
Well, that's what I want when I get high.
Yeah, exactly.
In my reading, the way that industrial hemp is grown, it's like the cottonwoods and the poplars that are grown for paper. They're grown, or for pulp. They're grown very close together and harvested very early, not at all for growing leaves. And you want to harvest it before it flowers. So none of the ways that people grow pot.
Right, and so when you cultivate the industrial hemp, it's scatter seeded, hence the name grass, and it is it's very dense, and it goes very very tall. So you can get up to four crops a year in some climates. Most climates you get three.
Wow, you mean like some places in the United States, like in the South, maybe?
Absolutely, in the South and even some places in the Midwest.
Interesting, but not in our area, not in the Northwest?
You would probably get two here.
Yeah, that's
easily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's like a couple of months, and then you harvest, and then you plant another crop?
Yeah, I would say probably in the Northwest, 3, maybe 4 months.
Wow.
It's going to grow, in the Northwest, it'll grow probably 12 to 14 feet tall when it's ready for harvest.
Oh, you know, one of the things that I was reading was that hemp doesn't have problems with pests.
That's
and so
correct.
It doesn't need to be sprayed with pesticides or herbicides, which that's a cool industrial crop.
And it doesn't require any irrigation water.
Oh, and then not very much fertilizer.
And very little fertilizer. In fact, it's one of the few plants that when we grow it, it actually, because it has a very deep root, it loosens the soil up. And that's one of the reasons why for centuries, it's been used as a rotation crop to revitalize the soil.
Be louder.
So it's been used for centuries to revitalize the soil as a rotation crop.
That's cool. Well, you know, I suppose if anyone had any really negative thoughts, it's called a carbon negative raw material, which there aren't very many industrialized crops that are carbon negative.
No, I can't. I don't know.
It's pretty hard to think of some, on any kind of scale, at least.
Exactly.
Right.
One of the major issues facing anybody who's thinking of growing hemp, of course, is the fact that our government has positions themselves to fight it. We have the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, that is literally lobbying Congress to prohibit the growing of industrial hemp.
Right.
In their minds, they believe that the industrial hemp plant and the marijuana plant are one and the same, and that even though there's a tiny amount of THC in an industrial hemp plant, that THC could be synthesized or stripped from the hemp plant, and then you'd have a drug. So they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to lobby.
Oh, probably millions.
Congress. Yeah.
Nobody does in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Okay, but there are a lot of changes going on in the hemp world. Let's see. There are a lot of states that have legalized the cultivation of industrial hemp: North Dakota, Hawaii, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Oregon, California, Montana, West Virginia, and Vermont.
Yeah.
And some states are issuing licenses to grow it. And they're you know, and then of course all the states that are doing this are having problems with the DEA.
Exactly. And again, it's because the DEA doesn't believe that their enforcement officers are smart enough to tell the difference between an industrial hemp plant and a marijuana plant.
Well, it seems to me if you drive, you know, like between Astoria and Clatskanie, and there's a field, and it looks like pot, but it's growing, you know, 6 inches apart,
right,
out in the open, it's probably not.
It's pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, you know. it's an ancient science. The industrial hemp has been grown for over 10,000 years. It's one of the oldest known agricultural crops. In 1619 in Jamestown Colony, it was a law that every farmer had to grow hemp.
Really? So, then what was the purpose of that law?
Well, because it's such a vital crop. It's food, it's fuel, it's fiber. And without it, the colonists were going to starve to death and not be able to have clothing.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it's just so important to our economy and to our lives that the fact that we're not growing it is so short-sighted.
Uh-huh. So is industrial cultivation in the United States a very, very teeny industry?
It's virtually non-existent.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There is one gentleman in Colorado who planted 60 acres as kind of a raised fist, tiny fist of fury being shaken at the DEA.
Have they arrested him? Have they arrested him?
They have not. Oh. They've not. In fact, they've not even harassed him at all about it.
Uh-huh.
And there's another gentleman in Washington State who has done the same thing, a much smaller scale. I think he's only planted 6, maybe 10 acres. And these are just kind of the first steps towards asserting states' rights about why we should be able to grow hemp. But we'll see. I think that the other thing that we're going to face is the issue that we have virtually no equipment to process hemp once it is grown.
Oh. So it uses different equipment than, let's say, cotton or...
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, it's very specialized equipment. And,
okay, wait. Well, what about other fibers like rayon?
Well, rayons, of course, are a viscose. So they're a chemical process.
Oh, it's not from a tree?
It is from a tree. If it's the cellulose material, it's dissolved using chemicals, and then it's using heat and chemicals, it's extruded as a plastic. So...
Yeah.
They do the
lovely.
Same thing. Yeah, it's quite lovely. Unfortunately, it's also extremely hard on the environment because the processed chemicals are not recovered.
Uh-huh.
So, rayon, not friendly.
Okay, so let's see. What about bamboo? A lot of people have heard about bamboo clothing.
Sure. Bamboo is one of the fastest growing so-called eco-fibers, I love it. I think it's a great fiber.
I do too. And it grows similarly. It's a tall.
Right. It grows fast. It grows tall.
And so the processing of bamboo, is that not similar to the processing of hemp?
No, it's more similar to the processing of rayon. And this is where we have to educate people about why we should use bamboo instead of rayon.
And that's because it's a more ecologically friendly process.
Yes. So rayon is a DuPont patented process. This is from 1927, the DuPont Corporation patented the process. Yeah, DuPont Chemical use it. The bamboo process, where it's bamboo, viscose from bamboo, uses a combination of petrochemicals and enzymes to digest the cellulose material, and then it is turned into a viscose.
Those enzymes
can be recovered. So there's about 68% of the process chemicals and enzymes can be recovered versus virtually zero of the rayon process.
Now, a bamboo is another product that doesn't need a lot of fuss when you grow it. It doesn't need chemicals. It doesn't need herbicides and pesticides. It doesn't really. It needs some water.
Right.
Bamboo needs water, but not much in the way of fertilizer.
Right. No fertilizer, no pesticides, no herbicides. Just some irrigation water.
Right.
And at a much lower rate than cotton. Even so-called organic cotton is still a huge consumer of crop water.
Oh. Well, and the other thing with cotton is they use lots of pesticides on it.
Well, inorganic cotton.
The majority of cotton that's grown.
Right. Let's call it commercial cotton. Is a huge consumer of pesticides, herbicides, and crop water.
Is that some of the smell? When you buy new clothing, there's often a smell on it. Like, you buy a new carpet, the horrible off-gassing, you get the same. I mean, you go into a clothing store, and there's usually horrible smells. What is that?
There's a combination of things that I think it comes from, and from some of my education, from being in the store so much, I believe that some of that is the smells of the dyes. And some of it is the smells of the fabrics themselves, and the process that they've gone through, and the packaging. So a lot of the garments are packaged individually in plastic or cellophane wrapping to protect them during shipment. So that's some of what you're smelling.
Wow.
But back to hemp.
Yes.
And talking about plastic, that's one of the things you can make from hemp.
It's plastic?
It's plastic. And Ford Motor Company, 2 weeks ago, made an announcement that they are now using hemp plastic interiors.
Hemp plastic. Whoa, really?
Yes.
Well, now that's a change. That's really a thumbing the nose at DEA.
Yeah, and it's not the first time Ford's used plastic. In 1939, Henry Ford actually built a complete auto body for demonstration purposes using hemp plastic.
Huh. Now, what does hemp plastic look like?
It looks like any other plastic.
Wow, so you can color it to make it any color you want?
You can color it, you can shape it, you can texture it.
Huh.
Now, here's a little secret. That's the fun part about it. This has been going on since 2001.
So we're just hearing about it now.
We're just hearing about it
so
now.
So Ford's been putting it in all their cars, but not talking about it.
But not talking about it.
Interesting.
And it's not just Ford. It's every manufacturer.
Oh, so there must be some advantage.
It's cheap.
Oh.
It's less expensive than petrochemicals.
Interesting. So. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to join the conversation and have a question about hemp, growing, production, whatever, distribution, give us a call. When we come back, we'll talk about where hemp fiber comes from that we have in stuff that we buy in the United States and what might happen in the future. My guest is Michael Pierce. He's the co-owner of Astoria Hempworks, and we'll be right back. We're back. If you're just joining us, we are talking about hemp today. My guest is the co-owner of Astoria Hempworks, Michael Pierce. And let's talk about where hemp comes from. Hemp fabric that you guys buy. The biggest producer in the world of hemp is China. Big surprise.
Not really.
Right. I wasn't surprised to read that somehow.
So when you go back to the roots of hemp, so to speak,
Please speak up.
when you go to the roots of hemp, you find that hemp originated in the Nepal and Tibet area of China.
Oh.
And also in India.
So they've probably never stopped producing it.
They've never stopped producing
uh-huh.
it. And it's a long, long, ancient historical production.
Uh-huh. And so do they do the whole process then? Do they grow it and process it and make it into clothing?
Yes.
They do. Okay. And are they the biggest exporters of hemp fabric?
I would say at this point in time they are, although uh-huh. Canada is rapidly catching up.
Oh.
Canada last year grew almost 200,000 acres of hemp.
So obviously they don't have a DEA problem. Okay, but there are over 30 countries that produce industrial hemp, and that's a lot.
It's really virtually every industrialized nation in the world grows hemp, with the exception of the United States.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. So it has different uses. Like in Great Britain, most of what they grow, they use for bedding for horses.
Right. You can use it for bedding for animals. You can use it, like we talked earlier, about plastics. It's food. In fact, you can go out to our local Costco in Warrenton and buy a bag of hulled hemp hearts.
So let's talk about the food, and then it's also in cosmetics. Why would somebody want to eat? I've seen hemp seeds, hemp milk, hemp butter. Well, why would you want to eat that?
Well, let's talk about the protein content.
Okay.
Hemp seed is 35% protein by weight. There are very few seeds that even approach that, let alone exceed that.
Oh.
It has the perfect blend of the amino acids our bodies want and of the omega 3, 6, and 9 complex that our bodies want.
Is this something you could grind it up and put it in your oatmeal, that kind of a thing, or put it in bread when you're making bread?
Or just grab a tablespoonful and eat it. It tastes great. It has a real nutty flavor.
And so it's roasted?
It's not roasted. It's raw.
Oh, and it doesn't taste like pot seeds?
No, it doesn't taste like or smell like pot.
Oh, okay.
Not that I would know what that would smell or taste like.
Yeah, right. So what about milk? Like, I tasted hemp milk, and I thought it tasted awful.
Well, it depends on how it's made. There are some ancient recipes that go back thousands of years that have a very... kind of a earthy flavor to them that's not very tasty.
Uh-huh.
And there are more contemporary hemp milk recipes that have more of a nutty flavor that tastes more like a soy milk.
Uh-huh. Well, I got it in one of those septic packs that, looked like a soy milk pack.
It depends on the company that's making it. I've had it from two different companies, one I liked and one I didn't. So I think it's
Various
makers.
Are the food hemp products that people can buy, are they organically produced?
Well, it's because it is hemp. For the most part, you're going to find them, it's hard to say organically produced unless it's actually labeled organic. I know that the company in Canada named Manitoba Harvest that does label their products as organic.
Would you say the name again?
Manitoba Harvest.
Okay. So their hemp products would be organic.
They have two different lines. They have a regular hemp product and a organic hemp product.
Uh-huh. Okay. So. Interesting.
So hemp is food, and then it's also fuel. So the same thing
that you can make into a dress, you can eat.
Well, not the same thing that you make into a dress. You eat but the same plant creates.
So what part do you... Okay, you said the seeds. So where does the milk come from?
So the hemp milk is created by processing the hemp seed.
Oh, so everything has to do with the seed.
All the food side has to do with the seed.
Uh-huh, okay.
And the plastic side has to do with the seed. And the oil side has to do with the seed. So the seed is kind of the heart of the plant as far as, as those things go.
Oh, so you can extract the oil out...
Right, by pressing the seed.
Uh-huh.
So you can have oil from the hemp seed, which can be used in cosmetics,
uh-huh.
It can be used in medicine. Even though it doesn't have any THC in it, you can still use it as medicine. It can be used for, you can burn it. Back in the late 1800s, Rudolf Diesel designed the diesel engine to run on hemp oil, not on petroleum oil.
Oh. Huh.
So it's a miracle plant. Kind of wave your arms in the air and go, yay, it's a miracle. You know, and then when you get into the fiber, there's two different types of hemp fiber. There's what's called the long or bast fiber, and there's the short fiber or the herd, which is it's usually used to make paper with. So bast fibers are used for textiles.
Uh-huh.
They're very long. They basically go from the very tip of the root to the top of the plant. It's the longest known fiber other than a silk fiber. And then the short fiber, the herd fiber, is really easy to turn into paper, into pulp.
Uh-huh. So if a person wanted to, like, make their own, are they going to get arrested? You know, grow your own?
If you were to grow your own hemp, you risk arrest because of the current state of our...
If you have if you're in Oregon, or I guess in Washington, if you have a current... medical marijuana card, would that exempt you, even though the purpose is different?
You know, I would hesitate to say go ahead, because I think that the DEA at this point, the federal government, is what's causing the obstacle.
So they don't differentiate. So you well, if they don't differentiate, then you should be fine. Of course, if you're growing an acre, but you're not fine anyway, because if you're growing an acre. Or if you're growing a plot outside where everyone can see it.
And you think about the fact that the DEA is still raiding dispensaries.
That's
still,
true. In Medford, in May, they raided a dispensary and arrested the people. Yeah.
And just last week, they raided dispensaries in Washington State.
Uh-huh.
So we're still dealing with an industry that's been created to keep people from the medicine. We're still dealing with a government that has aligned themselves to keep people from the hemp fiber.
It's so interesting that it's all lumped together. Okay, so if people can't grow it, then so what we really need to do is just change the government, or maybe have some more laws, federal laws, that allow for the industrial cultivation of hemp.
Well, yeah, we have to get it off. We have to split industrial hemp away from the narcotics side of, or the drug side of the whole argument.
So then,
but I have
to, yeah, go ahead.
I have to also recognize that we're closer today than we've ever been on legalizing hemp, you know, in the last 85 years. Since the Cannabis Tax Act of 1938 went into effect, we have fought to bring hemp back. And if it wasn't for the medical marijuana movement, if it wasn't for the people who have been pushing to legalize marijuana, even for recreational use, hemp wouldn't be where it is today. So it's a symbiotic relationship, and I have to recognize that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's interesting. They go together.
They do.
So the majority of the fabrics that you sell come from Canada, right? They're produced in Canada?
It's hard to say, because some of our products are sewn in Canada. The fabrics come from China. Some of the fabrics come from Canada.
Uh-huh.
It's a mix.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a global market.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Some of our fabrics come from Romania, Eastern Europe.
Oh.
So the Eastern Europe has long been a large producer of hemp also.
Interesting. Sure. Well, it looks like a bamboo forest when it's growing. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous when it's growing. You can barely walk through a hemp field, especially when it's near maturity.
Well, right. They plant them so close together.
Six to 12 inches apart.
Yeah, and how big around do they get then?
Well, if you include the leaf, they're about 18 inches in diameter.
Oh, I meant just the stalk.
The stalk itself is going to be about an inch to an inch and a half.
Yeah.
And they're very tall. But look, very similar to a bamboo.
Right.
But without the ridges as it goes up.
Right. Oh, I found something. Without the ridges.
Right.
That I found that canvas sails have been made for a long time out of hemp, and that the word canvas comes from cannabis.
Yes.
And that is, that's interesting.
In our Conestoga wagons that the settlers came west.
Yes, that's also.
That was also hemp.
Wow, and it's sort of a similar sounding word.
Yes.
Maybe.
And Presidents Washington and Jefferson both grew hemp.
Oh, interesting. So I guess as a call to action to make a change so that we could grow more hemp, what would you think would be a good step?
I think the best step would be to contact our state representatives and our senators and and let them know that we want industrial hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Blumenauer and Senator Wyden are both pushing and helping us along that way.
Uh-huh.
But we need more voices, voices of regular people who are not involved in the medical marijuana or the legalizing of marijuana movement.
Right, people who want fabric and who want paper, who want other choices.
And who want an opportunity to grow a great crop.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it would be fun to grow some and harvest it and see if I could make my own pulp. And
absolutely.
I'm not sure I'm interested in making fiber, but for clothing, because I'm not that much of a sewer, but I love to make paper. I think that would be a blast. Hemp paper would be fun.
It's a beautiful paper. Our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, and our Constitution were all drafted on hemp paper.
Oh, wow. All right, so give your contact information if people want to contact you for more, whatever, to ask you questions or to get more information.
If anybody wants to contact me, they can call me directly at our store phone number, 503-791-2914, or they can drop me an email, michael@astoriahemp.com, or drop a visit to our Facebook page, Astoria Hemp Works.
Great. Well, this has been fun. I don't know. I'm trying to envision the next step here, but it sounds like it'll be cool. Thank you very much. My guest has been Michael Pierce, the co-owner of Astoria Hemp Works, and this has been a long time in the coming to get this together. Thank you very much for joining me.
It's been my pleasure.
You're listening to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine. Talk to you in a week. Have a great one.